But our preacher is in Turkey. I didn't say it was a turkey. Some of you are half listening. He had an offer. If you remember the bookseller that comes through, Brother Harrison, he was going on a tour of the seven churches in Asia Minor with a sword, and he got sick and couldn't go and offered that trip to the preacher, and he took him up on it, so he is somewhere. Do we know where he is at this point? He may be in Ephesus or Sardis. We don't know where he is, but he is traveling, so let's be praying for him as he is. How long is this trip? Is it like 10 days or? Be back Tuesday. All right. And we do want to continue to pray for Anna. She is continuing to make progress slowly but surely. And then Karen Harless's mother, Margaret Ketron, is having a heart procedure done Tuesday. And she has some serious physical needs. Really not sure if they'll just do a heart cath or put some stents in or have to do open heart surgery. Just really not sure. So let's pray for Miss Ketron. This was given to me. Megan Magnus had a customer named Jerry, who she was witnessing to, and he mentioned he had cancer, and she gave him a track. He's unsaved, and she witnessed to him, but Jerry needs to be saved, and so she's asked us to pray for him also this morning. All right, so let's pray for these, and we'll get underway here. Lord, we do thank you that we can come back to your house today. Thank you for giving folks safety as they travel this morning. Do continue to pray for our preacher now as he's away from us and traveling there on this tour of the seven churches of Asia Minor. We pray, Lord, that you would just watch over him and strengthen him and give him a safe return this week. And Lord, just continue to minister in his life, we pray. And do pray for Annas today, that you would continue to touch her body, help her to heal. You know the great struggle she's been through. And thank you, Lord, for preserving her life. And just continue to have your hand of healing upon her body. We do think of Karen's mother today, as she'll have this heart procedure done on Tuesday. Lord, ask you just to do a special work in her life and give the doctors real wisdom as they go in and begin to see the condition of her heart. May they know exactly how to help her. And Lord, just work in that situation. And then we think of this man, Jerry, who is lost and unsaved and has cancer. Lord, we pray you just work in his heart that you might use the track that Megan gave him. And may he look to you for salvation, Lord, and do a work in his life and touch him physically, and more importantly, Lord, spiritually, may you just touch him there. And then, Lord, we're asking you to bless our time together this morning as we study your word. I pray that you would help me to say the things you'd have me to say, things that may not even be in my notes this morning. You lead and guide and direct. I pray that we would say the things you'd want us to say, and Lord, may you just speak to our hearts today as we look at your word. And then be with Pastor as he speaks during the worship hour. We pray that you would use him in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, use the music. God, just bless our time together this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are delighted to have you this morning. Anybody visiting with us today? Anybody visiting, not normally attend? Good. And are you a pastor, is that correct? Missionary to where? Okay, great. Well, and your name is? Brother Godfrey. Great. Well, we're glad to have you with us this morning. That's wonderful. Anybody else visiting today? It's good to have Mr. Stover visiting with us today. Just slide in, Larry. No one's going to look at you or anything. Good. We would never embarrass anyone at this church. We wouldn't do it. All right. Larry, just stay standing. Let's all stand and join Larry, and let's shake hands with everybody and greet folks around you. Good. You may be seated. I think some of you are learning the longer you fellowship, the shorter the lesson is. So turn to 1 John this morning. 1 John We are living in strange times spiritually. We're living in a time when the average Christian looks no different than the world. Often, unfortunately, the average Christian acts just like the world, listens to the same kind of music as the world, and in an essence, if you put the two against each other, you can't tell a difference. Our churches have been affected by the same spirit. Come as you are. The church has become more of a coffee house than a place of worship. Again, if you listen to the world, the music of most churches, other than the words, you probably may not be able to delineate it from the music of the world. Now, why is that? I think that this is happening in our world today because we as Christians have a wrong view of God. Now, it's interesting. When Pastor asked me to teach these Sunday school lessons when we had snow, I'm sure he had no idea how often I'd be teaching. He thought maybe once a year, you know. But as I look back over the lessons, it's interesting to me that almost all of them have dealt with some attribute of God. Last week we talked about the sovereignty, the providence of God. The first lesson was in Psalm 121. I talked much about the person of God. My wife and I were at the Wilds Christian Camp this week for a music conference, and the speaker was a man named Jim Binney, who is a counselor, and his job is he has set up a counseling center to deal with pastors and missionaries who have fallen into sin or having different issues in their life. Now, they deal with other folks too, but that's kind of the main purpose of it. And I was amazed again, as he said over and over again, that the root cause of sin is a wrong view of God. This morning, I want to look at another attribute of God that is very clearly stated for us here in 1 John in the first chapter. Let me read with you, or you follow along as I read, starting in verse 5 through verse 7. 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to see if you can pick out the attribute of God, the nature of God, that we're going to look at this morning. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. Did you get it? God is light. God is light. We are missing this attribute of God. We want to emphasize let me ask you, what is the attribute of God that the liberal people, neo-evangelicals, want to emphasize? Yeah, God is love. Is God love? Sure. But God is also light. God is light. And I guess I can tell you this. I am studying 1 John in my devotions. And I've got commentary by Hebert, and I'm just going through and trying to memorize the passage as I go along. And boy, this chapter has been such a challenge to my heart. And it has changed my life. It has changed some areas of my life as I have studied and seen that God is light. God is light. Now, first of all, this morning, as we look at verse 5, I want you to see the revelation of God's nature. Where did John learn that God was light? Was this some human observation? Well, look in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Where did John learn what he's going to share with us? From the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, John was an apostle. He was part of the inner circle. He was trained personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is something that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught these men and had declared to them, that he is light. God is light. Here is the truth that is the sum of all the things that Christ taught them.
Now, notice again what he says. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, this is not the only time in Scripture that we hear God being described as being light. Now, I'm not looking right now for descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ, but can you think of some other places in the Old Testament where God is described as a light, or the word light is used to describe him? All right. Okay. Actually, thy word is a lamp to my feet. Okay. Somebody else had something over here. Okay. There is a psalm that uses, that tells us God is a light. Can you tell me what it is? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Very good. That's one. That's Psalm 27:1. There's another psalm in Psalm 104, which said, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment. Can you think of some passages in Exodus that kind of help us see this idea that God is light? Mount Sinai. What happened on Mount Sinai? Yeah, why do you think his countenance shone brightly? Because he was face to face as he saw the hinder parts of God. And that affected his physical appearance. Can you think of another time in Exodus when God was shown as a light? The burning bush. All right, what's another one? There we go. The pillar of light by night. That even as they were at the Red Sea there, you know that it was provided a light for the children of Israel. Of course, it was darkness for the Egyptians. Now, it's also interesting that Christ, of course, is called the light. It is foretold in Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is prophetic. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. When is that fulfilled? We'll turn back to the Gospel of John. We'll be back to 1 John in a moment. Turn back to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, notice, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus, of course, is God, and he is the light. And in fact, if you turn to John chapter 8, just over a couple pages, John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus makes this claim for himself. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, what? Let's read that together. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we see that Jesus Christ is the light. It's interesting, there is a time during his ministry when that light was displayed, at least a little bit of it was displayed. When was that? Mount of Transfiguration. And there, the Mount of Transfiguration, it said that his garments were white, and a little bit of his glory was put on display. God and Jesus Christ is light. And it's interesting, just as a footnote, someday when you die and you get to heaven, there will be no night there because there's the sun, right? Well, not that sun, but the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who will be the light of heaven. So we see that light is obviously very important and is part of the nature of God. But let me ask you a question. What does it mean? As I was studying this passage, and it says, God is light. And I thought, great. So what does that mean? I mean, what does it mean when we say that God is light? Well, let's look at Isaiah very quickly here. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 will give us some idea. And then I'm going to open it up and let you throw in your two bits and see what you think. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5:20. And the prophet says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Now you see the comparison, good and evil, all right? "That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So he is making a comparison here between darkness and light and evil and good. Obviously, the light is good, the darkness is evil. All right, now, how else would we describe God as being light? If I said to you, Ira Hay, you don't have to answer this, Ira, but as a, what does it mean when God says God is light? What would you say? Life? Steve? All right. As a light, he enlightens us. Okay. What else about the actual nature of God? If you had to define what it means when I say God is light, what are some synonyms? What are some words that would help describe God? What's that? Purity. Very good. Purity. Truth. Holiness. Those are all great ones because I have all those written down. So that means those are all good answers. God is absolute perfect holiness. Absolute perfect holiness. Absolute purity and absolute truth. Now notice in this passage, and it says, "And there is no, and in him is no darkness at all." Now, obviously, if light is purity, truth, holiness, then dark would be what? The absence of all those three. That's right. Sinfulness is the opposite of holiness. Evil, impurity, error, all of these things are darkness. So God is light. Have you got it? Okay. Holiness, purity, truth. God is light. This is one of his attributes, folks. God is light. So God is perfect holiness, perfect complete truth, perfect purity. There is no hint, no speck of unholiness or impurity or falseness or lie in him. Now, so what? God is light. So what? All right, what are the results of God's nature? And that probably isn't a great word, but it's the only one I can think of. What is the result of the fact that God is light? Well, we can see it in nature today. If you go into, how many have been to Ruby? Is it called Ruby Falls there in Chattanooga? Have been to Ruby Falls? If you've been anywhere, you've been there. All right, good. Obviously, you go down way down in that cavern, take that hike way back in there. What is once you get down in there, of course, they have the falls and they put the lights on. It's all beautiful and everything. Although you may say, I hiked all the way here to see that, but it's pretty neat. But what do they do when you get down in there? The thing they always do, we have some caves in Idaho. They did this there. I went to the Bristol Caverns. They did this there. What do they always do to you? They always turn off the lights. I think these guys enjoy that, don't you? Okay, here we go. Let's turn the lights out on. This will be great. And boy, it's just, I mean, there's no light at all. It is just pitch dark. There is a total absence of light. Now, what if somebody has a flashlight and they turn it on? Well, the darkness is dispelled, isn't it? Absolute darkness and light cannot exist together. Can't happen. If you've got light, you don't have absolute. I mean, now that's deep, I know, but I know it's, you know, sunny or it's snowy outside, but total darkness and light cannot go. They are total opposites. Now, what about the spiritual realm? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:14 is a familiar passage. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Notice, "and what communion hath what? Hath light?" I have it written here and I can't even read it. "Hath light with darkness." What's the point? There's separation. There is separation between dark and light. Spiritual light and spiritual darkness don't have anything in common. One is perfect, one is holy, one is pure, one is true, the other is the exact opposite. Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. (Clears throat)
1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. We'll read through verse 16. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going to describe the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Notice, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. What's the point? God is light. And we'll make more application here in a moment. And because Jesus Christ is God and God is light, there is a separation between men who are dark in darkness. Now, let me make one other application. Our actions are our thoughts are either light or dark. Now think about this. Now it's interesting though, in the spiritual, in the physical realm, if you have complete darkness, you have no light. In the spiritual realm, it's the exact opposite. If you, to have absolute light, you can have no darkness at all. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, don't worry about it. You'll live anyway. All right. Now, here's the illustration. I go to Larry Galyon, and I tell him something that is 30% true. 30% true. Is it light or is it darkness? Why? Because there's 70% darkness. There's 70% untrue. Well, now, say I get under conviction, and so I go back to Larry, and now I tell him something that's 70% true. Is it light or is it darkness? I confess, I repent, and I really get right, and now I go back to him, and I tell him something that's 99% true. Is it light or is it dark? Still dark. Now, the fact that God is light brings separation for every person who is unsaved from God. The Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The attributes or character of God. What is one of the attributes or character of God? God is light. And because we are sinful, we have come short of that status of being light. In fact, the Word of God, of course, says we're darkness. Every man has a sinful lifestyle and a sinful nature and is therefore separated from God because God is light. Now, if God were not light, if God were just love, if God were not light, our sin would not be that big a deal. But because God is light and our sin is darkness, we cannot enter heaven. I mean, that is the import of this fact that God is light. In fact, in Revelation 21, 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that's heaven or the New Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Why? Why? Because, this is where you answer, God is light. God is light. And no darkness can come into his presence. And the only people who can enter heaven are people of light. Now, this means that every person who does not know Christ is in darkness. And by the way, what is the condemnation for those that are in darkness? When they stand before God, they will be condemned to what? Outer darkness. Sure. Now, I'm going to talk about this more in my last point, but I do want to mention it here. You say, well, boy, praise the Lord. I'm saved. I've got that taken care of. I don't have to worry about this darkness stuff anymore. Don't you wish? Because even as darkness, as an unbeliever, separates us from God because he is light, guess what? even as a believer, darkness still separates us from God. Now, I'm not going to tell you lose your salvation. I don't know if the pastor's in here yet or not, but don't go running. Oh, there, I see him back there, so I'm okay. I'm not teaching you can lose your salvation. Okay, make sure he got that clear. All right. The simple matter of fact is you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. Now this is where the applications come to my life, and I'm going to cover that more here in the last point, which begins right now. What's the right response to God's nature? How should you respond to the fact that God is light? All right, two things. Number one, the record of the right response is salvation. You ought to be saved. Now, more than likely, on a morning like this, probably everyone here confesses to be a Christian. I praise the Lord for that. But if you're not, you were in darkness. And hey, by the way, before you got saved, you were in darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, came and died for you. And here's what he did, folks. He took, and I mentioned this last Sunday, but it's a little different emphasis. The light of the world, when he died, took all my darkness. Took all my sin. And paid for it at Calvary. And at salvation, our standing before God becomes light. No longer darkness, but light. As God sees me through the blood of Christ, I am light. Now, obviously, the only way this thing worked, God is light, Jesus Christ is light. As the light, he had the ability to pay for my sin. And at salvation, I can become light. This is amazing. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye what? Light in the Lord." My standing before God as a Christian is a standing of light. And because of that, I can have fellowship with God. In fact, in Matthew 5:14, he says, "Ye are the what? Light of the world." In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." One of my favorite verses in Scripture. Isn't that a great verse? Jesus Christ became sin for me so I could be righteous. What is righteous? Well, always doing what's right. That's light. That's light. And I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I am clothed in the light of God. In God's eyes, I am indeed light. And because of that, light can fellowship with light. I can approach the very throne room of heaven as a Christian because at salvation I became light in God's eyes. And so I can approach light. What a great truth. And by the way, and I mentioned this earlier, when you die and you go to heaven or New Jerusalem, what will not be there? Darkness. It's always light. There is no night. It's always light because the Lamb of God is light. So, salvation, firstly. Secondly, though, sanctification. The simple matter of fact is that darkness can enter into the life of an unsaved person. Now, you are constantly being attacked by three enemies. We talk about this often, but the flesh is trying to control you, and it's trying to get you to do those fleshly deeds in Galatians chapter 5. And by the way, those things are all darkness. The adultery, the variance, the witchcraft, all those things, those are all darkness. And your flesh is constantly trying to control you and get you to do those things. The world is constantly trying to conform you and get you to walk in darkness. It's amazing. I was watching some of the Cowboys whipping yesterday of the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't watch much because, boy, they just creamed them. Typically, I don't watch commercials. I believe that's why they created remotes. But I did watch a couple commercials, and they were tremendous. They were really funny. They were really funny. Guess what kind of commercials they were? They were beer commercials. Sure. Seems pretty harmless, doesn't it? But what's the point? What is the world trying to do? It wants me to conform and take on darkness, even as a Christian. And then not only that, you have the devil who wants to consume you and make you fall
and get you into darkness. Isn't it tragic?
I spoke about Jim Benny earlier. Isn't it tragic that we have to have an organization that is set up to deal with fallen preachers and missionaries? Why is that? Because these three powers constantly trying to get us to go back in that walk of darkness.
Now, as a Christian, if you're going to fellowship with the Lord, you've got to walk in the light. In Ephesians 5, it says, "For you were sometimes in darkness," or excuse me, "you were sometimes darkness," not in darkness, "you were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light."
Do you realize that as a Christian, and this is where the emphasis was and the impact was made in my life over the last several weeks, that you can be light in God's standing in his eyes, but be walking in darkness and have no fellowship with God. You know, here at Buffalo Ridge for many years, you have heard preaching, as preacher said, against everything that moved.
Now, why is that? Because we want to make you miserable, right? We want you to have a terribly sad life and just never get to do anything, right? No, because look, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in the light. That's the reason. You've got to walk in the light. You can't walk in darkness and walk with God. Can't happen, folks. They are diametrically opposed, the light and the darkness. Now, here's the application. Here's the practical thing, folks. You're watching TV and darkness comes on that TV. That's probably the best thing ever happened. Turn it off and you have darkness. Now, and it begins to try to influence. Something comes on, men, that you should not look at. Hallelujah. I was watching that stupid ball game, and every 5 seconds they had to pan over to the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. What's that all about? That's darkness. Again, the remote came in handy. It's darkness. You say, boy, you're a prude. No, I want to walk with God. And here's the thing, folks. I can't, as a man, as a Christian man, I can't look anything I want to and still walk with God. Can't do it. Can't do it. As a Christian, period, I can't listen. Being the music director, I'd like to stay here for a while. I can't listen to just anything I want to and still walk with God. You say, well, you know, this music's not so bad. You know, it's kind of like the world, but, you know. And isn't it amazing as Christians, we always want to see how far we can go. Here's the world. Here's wickedness. Here's darkness. And instead of going, you know what, I'm going to stay away from that darkness because I want to walk with God, we say, boy, how close can I get to the world and still be a Christian? See? And then we're amazed when we fall off into the world. I just woke up 5 or 6 of you. Isn't that true? Why don't we as Christians say, I want to walk with God. I want to have fellowship with the light. I'm going to stay away from that. But we say, we're watching that movie and the guy uses the Lord's name in vain or uses some foul language, and we say, well, it's, you know, wasn't that bad. I've been there. You know? And we allow darkness to come in. And then we wonder why we don't know fellowship with God. Now, I've used illustrations for men because I'd be one. But ladies, you make the application where you ought to. And by the way, I could talk about Facebook and the things people say. I could talk about a lot of things where the new media, and I think Bob is working on some lessons for the teens on the media for the summer or something. But I tell you what, folks, there's a lot of darkness there. A lot of darkness. And see, we think, well, you know, a little bit of darkness won't hurt. And before we know it, we're not walking with God. We don't have fellowship with God. We don't know his presence in our life. Now, look, if you want to walk with the Lord, you want to know his presence, you've got to walk in the light. That's all there is to it.
I mean, there's been several times this last week. Now it's the wilds most of the week, and there's, even though it's called the wilds, there's nothing wild going on there. You know. It's just preaching and good singing. I think, oh, you ought to be there, folks. There's about 400 people there. Most of them are trained musicians. You ought to listen to congregational singing. There were several times I just stopped singing, and all the people around me were very grateful. And I just listened. I just listened to everybody singing. It was incredible. One night, I'm really getting off my topic here, but one night they had a sacred concert with Mac and Beth Lynch. They're both excellent piano players. And they had a volunteer orchestra of about 50 people, and we sat in the second row. And, you wouldn't believe it. And those pianos up there going to town, the orchestra all around us, it was incredible. It was just amazing.
And I don't know how I got off on that, but it was really great. It was good. All right. The light. That's right.
But when I got home, when I got home immediately, guess what I faced? I took my wife to, where do we go, Food City? Go shopping the other day? Where do you face darkness at Food City? Now, many of you think the whole thing is dark, so you don't go there ever, but you go to check out, and there are racks of darkness. Isn't that amazing? I was just standing there, started reading. I went, holy cow, I'm not supposed to read that stuff. And started looking away. I mean,
it's darkness everywhere. And the simple matter of fact is, folks, if you're going to walk with God, you can't walk in darkness. I mean, God is light.
Now, here's the great thing.
If go back to 1 John. Leave all those rabbit trails. Get back to 1 John. The results of a right response. What happens when I walk in the light?
What happens when I say, you know what? It's not worth it. The darkness is not worth it. I'm going to walk in the light. What happens? Oh, this is great.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. By the way, let me camp there for just a second because I kind of skipped that in the negative side. You say, I meet so many people. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm doing right. And you look at their life and it's nothing but darkness.
Now, if you're here today and you say, I'm a believer, and I'm walking with God, everything's all right. When pastor gives the invitation, if you're right with the Lord, great. Oh,
yes, that's me. I'm right, Lord.
And you're walking in darkness. What does the Bible call you in that verse? A liar. Can't happen. You cannot be walking with God and walking in darkness. But in verse 6,
verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Now, there's two fellowships here in this passage.
One is vertical. Here it is. If you walk in the light, you've been saved by the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk in the light, what happens?
You have fellowship with God, the light. What a great truth. I mean, you're not grieving the Spirit of God. You're not quenching the Spirit of God. Now, when you get saved, you get the Spirit of God indwelling you, and he never departs. But you can stop. You can quench his working so you don't sense that he is there. You don't know his presence. But as you walk in the light, what happens? Boy, you know the Spirit of God. You know his presence. You know the peace of God. I've been talking to Carol this week. Carol lost her job this week. They closed down the company. And she's been talking about the peace that God's given her. Why is that? Because she's walking the light. And as she walks in the light, she experiences the presence of God and the fellowship and communion with God. What a great truth.
When you walk in the light, folks, you can know the Lord's presence. Don't you want that? What a sad thing for a Christian to live their whole life and not know the presence of God.
Now, I'm not saying you jump up and down and hoot and holler or scream or swings from the chandeliers, but I'm saying you just know the presence of God and you experience the work of the Holy Spirit in your life.
He gives you that direction. He gives you that peace, say, as you walk in the light. But something else amazing happens. Not only do you have communion with God, but look, it says in verse 7, we have fellowship one with another.
I mentioned to Miss Minetta that we've gone to the wilds, and she said, isn't it great to get with other Christian people and just have sweet fellowship? And it is. No matter where you go, Brother Godfrey's visiting with us here. If you're walking in the light and you get with other people who are walking in the light, what do you have? It's just sweet. I mean, you may never have met them, but it's just sweet fellowship. I mean, you just love to get together with the light people. The people who are in the light, you just love to be with them, you know? By the way, this is the light. The light being revealed. Okay, that's the deeper truth. That's the deeper truth. Now, if you are a believer and you don't like to get together with people who are of the light, what might that say about you? You're not walking the light. If you say, I don't like going to church being all those Christians, maybe the problem is you're not walking. Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. It's like the guy with Limburger cheese on his nose. Everybody stinks. You know? Everybody goes, boy, he stinks. Hey, it's you're the problem. If you're not walking in the light, you're not going to be around people who are walking in the light. They will drive you nuts. Bunch of phonies always talking about separation and won't do this, won't do that, and boy, it's just no fun. But if you're walking in the light and other people come around who are walking in the light, man, it's sweet. Sweet fellowship. By the way, one other thing. John, in the first four verses, tells us why he's writing this book. And I guess you could call it a byproduct of this, walking in the light, is found in verse 4. When you walk in the light, what do you have? Joy. Full joy. He said, boy, being a Christian, you're so miserable, you can't do this, you can't do that, it's so hard, it's terrible. No. You walk in the light, and you'll have joy. You'll have joy because you are filled with the Spirit of God, and you are. What is one of the effects, or one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentle, long suffering. I'm glad I don't need that one. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. All those things. What happens when you're walking the light? The Spirit of God is working in your life and producing those things in your life. And you start. You try walking the light as a believer. You say, well, I just enjoy this sin. I just enjoy doing this. I just want to. No. You walk in the light, and you will experience true joy, true peace, as you walk in the light. Now, in conclusion, let me ask you a question. Are you in the light? You say, well, I'm a good guy. Well, if God wasn't light, that'd be okay. But God is light, and you cannot enter heaven unless you have been enlightened by the Spirit of God. You say, Gary, I have been. I am light. I have been born again. All right, let me ask you then. Are you walking in the light? Is there darkness in your life? You say, well, it's just a little thing. How little of the things does it take to drive away the light? For that darkness to influence just a little bit. Probably, we as believers need to get rid of some darkness so that we can walk in the light. I tell you what, folks, you walk in the light, it's sweet. I mean, it's sweet fellowship with the God who made all things, the God who is light. And it's sweet fellowship with other Christians who are walking in the light. God is light. God is light. I hope that thought will impact you this week and the rest of your life as it has impacted me this week. God is light. God is light. And if you're going to walk with Him, you've got to walk in the light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would take the thoughts, the words that were said, that You would take Your word and drive home this thought to our hearts. And Lord, may it change our behavior. May it change us so that we are very careful about darkness and so that we walk in the light and have sweet fellowship with You. Bless the worship hour to come. Bless the pastor as he preaches, the music, all that goes on. Lord, may You continue to bless our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You've got about 13 minutes, folks, and we'll start up.